Hi, my name is Jill Grossman, and you're listening to the podcasts of Living Through Testing Times. We're doing a Bible study, an 18-week Bible study, and we're going to be studying three books, the books of James, Job, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So I welcome you aboard. If you're traveling and you can't be part of the class, then this is a good way for you to do the study and then further your information or your study with these podcasts. It's all about connecting us into the Word, right? And what a better place to be and a glorious place to be than in the Word of God. So welcome. So let's talk about this for a second. Why these books? Why James, Job, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians? Well, you know how sometimes you're having coffee in a busy place or something, and you can't help but overhear some conversations. And we have a place in our church where we get coffee, and there's a lot of conversations that happen around us. And I was listening to the conversations that kept happening, and they kept being around the same things. I'd hear things like, oh, God is putting me through this. Oh, I'm just having such a hard time. Or, oh, this is a test. I just know it. I just know it. And life has its challenges, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And my husband Steve and I, can certainly attest to the testing times and the challenges that come with it. But it got me to thinking, if we are truly at the beginning to live in the end times, as some people tend to believe, then there will be testing times. Scripture says we will be tested. So how do we help each other out and encourage each other through those times? After all, it's all about maturing, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. How does God and what does God want us to learn here if we're to encourage each other? But how do we do that through in testing times? So, you know, I prayed about it and I found that the book of James lays out foundations to help us mature. And then Job, well, Job gives us those unbelievable examples of testing times. And then the two books of Thessalonians, that helps us put it all into action. And the result is a Christian who's maturing in his or her walk with Christ. That can help others mature in their walk as well. That's the goal. Isn't that the Christian walk? As someone's pulling us upward, then we're pulling someone along. I always think of that game, A Barrel of Monkeys. It's kind of funny, but it's true. That's the Christian walk. Someone's pulling you forward, and you're pulling someone else up. So let's all work together as we study these books together. So again, I welcome you aboard. All right, well, let's talk about the book of James for a moment. Imagine being the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Wow. Can you imagine? A person can react to such a thing in two ways. They can either act on one side of the scale with envy, jealousy, and a sense of inferiority, or on the other side with respect and admiration that would lead to discipleship. Well, I'm a realist. I mean, James was human, right? So I'm sure he landed on both sides at one time or another. John 7:5 says, for even his own brothers did not believe him. So we know there was a time. But James did become a believer, and he also became a respected leader in the early church as well. James, the book of James, the letters of James, were written to the Jews who had been seeking God for thousands of years. James's letters were likely among the first of the New Testament writings. His letters are written with clarity. They're with forthright. They're written almost as if it's a blueprint to Christian living. You need a blueprint in order to build a house, in order to build a building. It tells you how to do it right, how to lay that foundation right. That's what this is. That's what the book of James is, a blueprint to Christian living. He addresses how circumstances may affect mature Christians, or how circumstances may affect Christian relationships. Circumstances can affect our speech. Are we cursing our blessings with our tongue? And our heart attitudes. How are we when the rubber meets the road, when circumstances affect our heart? How are we? Do we shake our fist at God? Or do we open up our arms and surrender? James will look at himself first. He could have called himself a leader or a pillar of the church, but instead he uses the term doulos, meaning servant. That's how James saw himself. You know, God's ways are much higher than our ways. Isaiah 55:9 reminds us of that. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That was the posture of James. We tend to be like the disciples who were concerned about which one of them was the greatest. Remember that? Mark points that out in Mark 9:34. But they kept quiet because on their way they had argued about who was the greatest. Well, clearly James had learned Christ's ways. Just to be clear, this is Christ's way. He mentions it in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. It said, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus was secure in the Father. James was secure in Jesus. Christian maturity enables all of us to be true servants. James may have been Jesus' half-brother, but he called Jesus Lord, and he called him Master. James had one concern, and that one concern was to please his Lord. Well, let me ask you something. Do we live our lives with that in mind? Do we live with Jesus being so much in the forefront of our consciousness to please him that all our decisions are based on that? You know, a servant may minister to his master directly, but he's equally serving when he carries out his master's concerns. That was James's ambition. He could have sought political gain for himself by writing to the Roman leaders, or only writing to those Christian leaders with the popular reputations, right? But instead, he demonstrated his love for the Jewish Christians who were scattered around, and they all had been scattered for hundreds of years. If James could help those in dispersion to become mature in Christ, God's glory would be spread among the nations in which they were scattered. Can you just imagine? And James saw that. He saw that. Here's a great example. A Chinese farmer left the Christian compound after having cataracts removed from his eyes. A few days later, a missionary doctor looked out his window and noticed the man whose eyes had just been corrected, holding the end of a rope, a long rope. And holding to that rope in single file were several dozen blind Chinese whom he'd rounded up and led for miles to the doctor who had worked a miracle on his eyes. In the same way, James, having his own eyes open to understand the true Christian life, sent these letters like a lifeline to a new and confused and struggling Jewish Christians that were everywhere, that they too might come to the great physician for the correction of their sight. And that is his plea for us too, that we may come to the great physician for the correction in our sight. So as we study the book of James, let's ask God to help us all grow in our walk as Christians and honor him with our words and with our actions as well as our spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of James. We thank you for those letters that are forthright and direct. We need this. We need to hear this, Lord. So I pray, Father, as we go forth and we study the book of James, that this will just infiltrate our hearts and help us grow, because the goal is to be mature Christians who live for Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for that. Bless us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name, amen.